Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome back to our study in the book of Acts. Today, we're in chapter 14. In chapter 14, Paul's first missionary outreach continues. After the fruitful ministry in Antioch, and remember, this is a different Antioch than the one where their home church is located, they are moving now through modern-day Turkey, then known as Pisidia. The story moves fast, but this was believed to have been about a two-year journey. By the way, did you notice Saul's name suddenly became Paul back in chapter 13? In fact, the only time he is called Saul again is when he's sharing the story of his conversion, and he mentions that Jesus spoke to him using his original name. So Paul and Barnabas, and apparently a growing entourage of followers, continue their gospel invasion of this region. In verses 1 to 5, they preach the word in the city of Iconium, and they see God save many Jews and Greeks, which is, by the way, just another way of saying Gentiles, since everyone was impacted by the Greek culture at that time, even the Jews for that matter. But just as always, they encounter strong opposition. Eventually, they move on to other towns, and it seems like the team actually splits up and moves in a couple of different directions, Lystra and Derbe, as well as into the surrounding countryside. I love that they didn't forget about the poor little country towns and the crossroads where many people who were hungry for truth lived. Verse 8 through 20 record one of Paul's more painful encounters. The ministry in Lystra starts out powerfully. A man who was crippled from birth sits there listening to Paul and somehow has this simple yet radical faith that he can be healed. So Paul looks at the poor guy and can see that God is doing something in his heart, and he calls out loudly to him, "Stand upright on your feet," and he does. Great news, right? Well, of course, but this is a confused region, and one of those confused folks jumps to the conclusion that Paul and Barnabas are actually the embodiment of Zeus and Hermes. How in the world would they jump to that conclusion? Well, there was actually history behind this case of mistaken identity. The people of this region believed that Zeus and Hermes had visited in the past disguised as humans and had been snubbed by the locals. So the whole population of the area had been wiped out except for one kind old couple. Apparently the locals wanted to make sure that the gods were welcomed on their next visit. They came with animal sacrifices and garlands of flowers and sang Paul and Barnabas praises. Some people might have even accepted the praise of this multitude or even milked the crowd for a hefty offering like you see so many do today. But these apostles were not those kinds of people. They insisted that the glory for the healing go to Jesus Christ alone. They even had the audacity to tell these idol worshipers to stop this nonsense, as it says in verse 15, and I quote here, "Turn from these vain things and worship a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." They were barely able to keep the crowd from worshiping them, but when that was over, and we don't know how much later, the angry mob of unbelieving Jews that had opposed Paul and Barnabas in Antioch and Iconium, well, they tracked them down to Lystra and persuaded the crowd there to put Paul to death by stoning and to drag his seemingly lifeless body outside the town and leave it there to rot. What an incredibly quick turnaround that was, from being a god to being an anathema, a curse to them. Well, there's an interesting question at this point. Was Paul actually killed at Lystra, or was he knocked out in a coma, or what? We don't know, and in fact, Paul, when he writes about this encounter in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, even he wasn't sure if he died that day. In Galatians 6, verse 17, he talks about the marks that he bears in his body for the sake of the gospel, and he's talking not about tattoos, he's talking about scars, and some of those marks had to have come from this very beating that we're studying here. But again, God was not done with Paul. The believers gather around, and he simply got up. But look where he went after he got up, right back into the town he had just been dragged out of and left for dead. I'll tell you, that is courage and maybe a bit of what the Jews call chutzpah. The next day, he did leave, and with Barnabas, they traveled on to Derbe and preached Jesus there as well. And then in verse 21, we're told that they headed for home, but the way home this time was to backtrack and visit all those places where churches had been planted and encourage those believers in these towns, cities, and country crossroads to not accept an easy way of life. In verse 22, it says they told them to continue in the faith and to expect, quote, much tribulation on their way to heaven. They also appointed elders in every church, a core of leaders to care for those new churches, those new groups of Christians. Then in verse 24 through 28, it records this rapid-fire travel details about the trip back to their home church at Antioch in Syria. They had, as it reads, fulfilled the work that they were sent to do. The highlight of the report to the church when they get home seems to be that God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and that open door came at a cost, but it was a cost they were willing to pay. And I pray that we'll be ready and willing to pay that cost as well, as God calls us to fulfill His purposes in our life and to speak for Christ in our circle of friends and relatives and neighbors and even enemies. You know, the main message here, as in the rest of this great book, is this: let's get on with it. They relentlessly pushed the cause of the gospel forward in spite of hardship, conflict, and even hatred by those that they've brought the good news to. So I love what it says in verse 3. After the unbelieving Jews launched an attack against the work, Luke says this: they remained there for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Did you catch that? Trouble started, so we stayed. Trouble started, so we stayed. Other times it was trouble started, so we moved on. How do we know the difference between when it's time to stay and fight through the difficulty and when it's time to just head on to the next mission? Well, there is no other answer except to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ where your heart can hear His heart, His voice. So draw close to Jesus and stay in His word and resolve in your heart that you will simply follow Him where He leads. May God bless you now as you carefully read and study this inspiring story of Paul's first missionary journey. God bless you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.